Welcome to another edition of Ultimate Key to Freedom, Questions, Answers, Shares, and Whatever. That's my new opening, I guess. Questions, Answers, Shares, and Whatever. I am recording this from Sydney, Australia, and technically Narrabeen, a beach community in northern Sydney. And if I sound a little bit different than normal, it's because I have a different microphone that I'm using that I take with me when I travel. Here is the first question. This is from Sherry, who has completed all of the content for Ultimate Key to Freedom. Mind Machine question. This character enrolled in Being in Truth, Wave 2. If you don't know what that is, that was the first release of a Phase 3 teaching that I did after the Phase 2 Busting Loose Masters of Light content. And there was a Being in Truth Wave 1 and Wave 2. They were 24-week courses each where you got lessons once a week in a timed release basis. And I ultimately took those off of availability because Ultimate Freedom replaced them. So if you're curious, that's the story there. Okay, continuing. But stopped partway through while reading the book on lucid dreaming. That was a book that I recommended. In Being in Truth, there was a particular book on lucid dreaming by Robert Wagoner, W-A-G-G-O-N-E-R, on lucid dreaming. If you want to look it up, I can't remember the title of it at the moment. Okay, from the perspective of the teacher Robert, would awakening be better served by completing Wave 2 or by moving into the Ultimate Key to Freedom support community? Yes, this character does recognize that none of this really matters. For the awakening process, true creative essence will create an awakened Sherry when and if it is written in the story. Okay, a few things. First of all, true creative essence will not create an awakened Sherry. It is not possible for an individual to awaken because there isn't any individual that could. And as the reader, capital T, capital R, of the Sherry story, the reader is awake, so to speak, and doesn't need to be awakened. So the way I language it, with language fails miserably at this level of discussing things, as you've heard me say so many times, is that what happens is true creative essence awakens ultimate freedom in the story. But a character doesn't awaken. That's one of the myths that is very popular in a lot of spiritual teachings about enlightenment and illumination and spiritual awakening, that it is the individual that it happens to. Ironically, with no exception that I'm aware of, although there may be one, any individual who, quote-unquote, has been enlightened, they don't say that they were enlightened. They actually say something different language than me. But what they say acknowledges that there isn't any individual, really. So it's actually quite interesting that even though the enlightened beings, quote-unquote, say it's not about it happening to an individual and point to that in various ways or tend to, it's still the target within those teachings because ultimately, it's a phase one dynamic. So, Sherry, there is no quote-unquote better served, and I think you know this. I think this is an old mind machine program that runs, and I'm very familiar with it, that says, well, something like there are good strategies and there are bad strategies and there are not so effective strategies, and I want to do the most effective thing. I want to do the most productive thing. I want to find the technique that 'll take me from A to B in the fastest, best way, whatever, and then the mind machine searches for that. And so this is an old program that runs and says, well, there's these options in front of me. I could do this, 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 or this. Which one would be best? And then trying to figure out, however it is, including asking somebody for advice, to determine the best way to do it. There isn't any best way. There isn't any better served way. There's only the way that has been written into our unique stories, in this case, the Sherry story. And it'll take care of itself. This is one of the gifts to me, bear with all of this language, to ultimate freedom awakening, is that all of a sudden, you don't have to worry about making decisions. You don't have to do due diligence. You don't have to investigate. You don't have to analyze. You don't have to figure out. You don't have to get advice. All of that can happen. It still happens sometimes in the Robert story, not like it used to. It's a very different thing. It's much more unusual. It can happen. It's not a don't do that. It's a bad thing. It's not a must not, should not. But in general, all questions are resolved. And again, this instance, this is where the novel metaphor is really accurate. If you're reading a novel and the hero has to make a decision And you're on page 256, and all of a sudden the character is presented with a decision. You won't necessarily consciously wonder, gee, I wonder how they're going to decide this. But on some level you do, and it's kind of like, I'm so curious to see what the character is going to do. I'm so curious to see what happens, you know, what decision they make, what happens as a result of the decision. And so you keep turning the pages to see how the author, you don't think of it that way. You know, you think of it as you want to see how the character made the decision. But the truth is, as you continue to turn the pages, what you see is how the author wrote for that character to make a decision and then what happened afterwards. And it's the same thing with us. So, again, I'm not giving you a prescription that says don't ever ask for advice, don't ever, you know, whatever. I'm just saying this decision has been made. True creative essence, lack of a better term, knows the best way to support the Sherry story in unfolding and ultimate freedom awakening, and you will find yourself doing what it is that's been written, regardless of what the mind machine may buzz and whir about or think about or consider or want to make a decision from the available options. You will simply find yourself, and so lack of a better term, when you're reading a novel, you wait to see what the author is going to do. You don't sit around, you know, waiting. You're turning the pages, but in essence, you're waiting to see what the author wrote. And it's the same thing here. So if going back and completing wave two would be supportive to the Sherry story, you'll find yourself doing that tomorrow, 2 weeks from now, 6 months from now, 3 years from now. If it's not supportive, you won't. If you go back, and let's say I'm making something up here, you've got, what'd you say here, partway through. Let's say you had six expansion packs left that you did not complete. And all of a sudden, one morning, you as the reader, you see, you read the story in which Sherry goes back and starts to to complete those lessons. And then you might do two of the six expansion packs, and then you'll read that the Sherry character stopped. You may find that for whatever reason, the Sherry character would go back and look at an expansion pack that she already did complete, but look at it again. Anything can happen, but all of these decisions ultimately will get answered by the story unfolding, the story that's been written unfolding, and there is the opportunity to simply be the reader, lack of a better term. It doesn't mean sit around and do nothing, but in a way it kind of is, as things are happening, because in a way when you're reading a novel, you're sitting around doing nothing as you're reading the story, in a sense, you know, you the reader. So it'll take care of itself. If joining the UKF support community, I'm not quite sure what that means, but if you mean the Amethyst program or you mean whatever, I don't know, or dancing in ultimate freedom, but it'll take care of itself. It'll happen, it won't happen, it'll happen when it happens, if it happens, it'll happen in the perfect way, and you'll just notice that the Sherry character will do it or not do it. And so this is, again, one of the great gifts, because all of it gets taken care of in the human story, in our stories, just like it does by authors in fiction, by screenwriters in movies. And there's the opportunity as the reader to simply, you know, be excited, so to speak, anticipate, you know, watch the pages being turned, so to speak, as you wake up, as the days move each day, and you'll see what happens. But there isn't any one way, there isn't any best way, I can't say to you, because there's no objective anything here. Everything is custom designed for our characters and our stories. So, I don't know. You could say, well, yeah, but maybe true creative essence would shape itself into you giving me advice of which thing to do here, and that's possible. In general, the Robert character does not tend to do that for the reasons that I just explained, and I haven't done that for quite a while. I don't tend to say, here's a prescription for you, you know, like a doctor. Sometimes I do, and if that comes through, it comes through. It's not here. What's coming through here, in essence, and the words don't serve, is wait and see what happens in the story. You can't make a mistake. You can't screw up. Sherry can't interfere with True Creative Essence's best laid plans for ultimate freedom to awaken, and it'll take care of itself. Okay, here we go. And let me just say, so I don't forget, that I'm doing this on a Thursday. And because my ultimate freedom in Sydney, Australia starts Friday morning, so normally I do these, sometimes I do them Thursday anyway, but usually the target's Friday and I won't be able to do that. So if for some reason you submitted a question Thursday afternoon after I posted this or Friday, I'm sorry, but there'll be a delay until next week for me to answer that because my schedule is a little bit changed because I'm in Australia and I'm doing these events. So here's the second one. This is from Arlene. Arlene completed a live Ultimate Key to Freedom intensive in Ojai, California. I don't know if she has reviewed any of the videos in the online experience, but here we go. Dear Robert, yesterday Arlene went to see Abraham live. She loved it. The words and feelings resonated so well. She is confused and looking for evidence. What Abraham teaches feels so right, quote unquote. What Abraham teaches is, quote unquote, you create your own reality. Okay, so Arlene knows that true creative essence creates reality. Who Arlene really is true creative essence, and so yes, you create your own reality. Is that how you see it? Do you believe in vibrational reality? How does time slash no time work? Thanks in advance, Robert. Well, Arlene, pretty much what's going on here is the mind machine buzzing and worrying and trying to reconcile things at the idea and concept level. If you want to play at the idea and concept level, and ultimately it's a dead end on these kinds of things, but that doesn't mean don't do it or you're wrong or bad or whatever, but there are certain inherent limitations and issues with trying to do that as it relates to truth with a capital T. As you may remember me saying, the mind machine is not designed, was not built to be able to process truth with a capital T. It was built to be able to process storyline details in a very limited and distorted way and mechanical way. So at the idea and concept level, what you said is accurate. True creative essence creates reality. Who Arlene really is true creative essence. So yes, quote unquote, you create your own reality if you is pointing to true creative essence. Now, to tell you the truth, I have never studied the Abraham teachings. I remember skimming some things a long time ago. Ironically, I think in phase one when I was struggling with so many things and Abraham was doing private sessions, I believe I had one. I don't remember what Abraham said, and I once looked to try to find the cassette tape of that because I was curious to see what I was told way back when, and I couldn't find it. So I don't know what Abraham teaches anymore. I have an idea, but I don't know, and I certainly don't know exactly what was said when you saw the live event. But in general, the you create your own reality is not talking about there is a source, God, creator, what I call true creative essence that creates your reality, and since you are that, you create your own reality. Typically in those stories, in those systems, in those dynamics, they say there is an Arlene who's an independent being, lack of a better term, bear with the language, and Arlene, the individual, what we call the character, has the creative power and creates her own reality by her intentions, by her thoughts. I don't know if Abraham talks about you need to, you know, visualize and then amp up a bunch of emotion with it. And so if that's the case, then it would be that Arlene as an individual has creative power and can intend something, visualize something, think about something, keep something in her dominant thoughts, amp up the emotion if that's part of it, that she has the creative power, the individual. They're not, you in these systems does not tend to mean true creative essence, as we call it. So there's a bit of a disconnect in there, but what you said is technically true. Since you are true creative essence, you are creating your own reality. But my bias, which to me isn't really a bias, because if you look at what's going on in inner space, and you'll probably remember what I said at Ultimate Freedom about the law of attraction, which applies to you create your own reality dynamics. Again, the party line is, your thoughts create your own reality, and in some systems, emotions play a role, as I said, and in others, they don't. But let's just look at the law of attraction's way of expressing that, because it's a little easier to work with for me to make my point. What it typically says for the law of attraction is whatever you hold in your most dominant thoughts must manifest. It's a law. That's the way it works. And so let's take a look at that. If that was true, if you really did create your own reality based on your thoughts and or your emotions, then any time that in your thoughts was fear of something bad happening with a lot of quote-unquote negative emotion amping it up, then that bad thing ought to happen every single time. Except if you look with brutal honesty, it doesn't. In fact, my bias, and there could be other people's lives where the percentages are different, but my bias is the vast majority of things that we are afraid of and scared of and terrified will happen, you know, these bad things don't happen. But they don't happen all the time. They happen a small percentage of the time from what I've seen in my own life and in interacting with so many people around the world now. So if your thoughts really created your own reality, then all these negative fears that these bad things are going to happen or might happen or whatever ought to translate into the bad thing happening, except it doesn't work that way. On the flip side of it is, if your thoughts create your own reality and you focus, you know, you try to, which bottom line, if you really look, you can't do anyway. I think you remember me telling this story in Ojai. You know, you can try to hold a particular something in your thoughts. You can try to amp up emotion. You can try to keep a picture or a video or whatever. As it appears, it might appear to stay for a while, but no one's able to sustain that for long periods of time, or few people. There's always exceptions to everything. So on the flip side of that, if in your dominant thoughts were, this really good thing's going to happen, I know I'm going to get that job, I know this is going to happen, I know I'm going to whatever it is, then the good thing ought to happen, so to speak, except it doesn't. Again, the small percentage of the time do the positive things, so to speak, that we hold in our dominant thoughts, bear with the language, manifest. Now, the party line can argue those kinds of things, and they can say, for the positive things, you know, when you held a positive intention, you did a positive, you know, visualization, whatever, then you've got some sabotaging belief in your subconscious mind, or they'll say it's karma, and you're experiencing this quote-unquote bad thing because you're paying back karma. They can address why you don't always get the good things that you focus on or you use techniques or, you know, you try to create. I'm not aware of a lot of really quote-unquote sound arguments, so to speak, about why the bad things don't happen, but probably they would say something like that. There's something going on in the subconscious mind or whatever. But ultimately, if you really push on those things, why is it that all the bad things that we're afraid are going to happen don't happen? Why is it that all the good things that we try to create don't happen? You have to acknowledge if you're brutally honest, and some people can be in denial, but you have to acknowledge on some level that there's some other intelligence, there's some other force that's either creating what's happening to you or at least is influencing you, you know, is determining which of the thoughts are going to manifest and which aren't. If you're brutally honest, you have to acknowledge, and whether they call that God or they call that whatever, you have to. But the kicker for all of this that nobody can refute, and it's interesting because I was interviewed by my friend Amir yesterday in Australia, and we were talking about this, and he was talking about how his experience is the same thing that I'm about to say, which is if you talk to people who say you create your own reality, and it would be interesting to see what Abraham would say about this, but if you say, okay, if you're creating your own reality, which means your thoughts and feelings are a combination thereof and in your intentions and targets and whatever are creating your reality, then how do you explain, I'm just going to call it really good things or really bad things that happen to you that you never thought about, ever. Never intended to create, never tried to create, never appeared in inner space in our language at all, ever. And if you look at so many people's lives, including your own, there's all kinds of examples of that. And again, the party line can be, well, the bad reason the bad thing happens is because you've got, again, this subconscious whatever. It's hidden from your awareness, you know, but there's this, and it's got this vibrational thing that's attracting these things to you, and they can explain it all away. But again, ultimately, if you're brutally honest, when something absolutely amazing, let's just call it, happens to you that's completely unexpected, that you never thought about, that you never intended, that you never dreamed about, that you never, you know, wanted, you have to acknowledge, you know, at least the possibility that there's some other force that's determining or shaping or actually creating what happens. Now, these are all, if we kind of skim along this at the idea and concept level, if you go to the ultimate freedom focus, if you will, perspective, then you look, what you see is there isn't any creator running around in inner space that could be doing any of this. There is what we talked about. There's thoughts appearing out of nowhere, disappearing into nowhere. There's feelings moving in their own way with a life of their own. There's all these different personalities running around, and then there's the reader of the story, which is true creative essence, experiencing your story through the window in the way that I talked about it. But that the reader doesn't have any intentions. The reader doesn't try to create anything. The reader just reads what's been created. That's what you actually see. So that's the more powerful of all of these things. But if you dance at the idea and concept level, that's what, to me, my bias, I'm sure somebody could come up with some argument that maybe would have some logical consistency, maybe it wouldn't, as to why I'm wrong. And no, it really is you doing it. But to me, it is so duh obvious. If you look with brutal honesty and you let go of an investment in these kinds of teachings or whatever, you see that it just doesn't make sense, and it just doesn't work that way if you really look. So that's my bias. Do I believe in a vibrational reality? I'm not quite sure what that means, but I think it means something like, you know, whatever you vibrate at, which comes down to whatever is in your thoughts and feelings and perhaps subconscious mind or whatever is what, you know, and that there's just these vibrations running around on their own, connecting and doing all these kinds of things. True creative essence can certainly shape itself into things appearing to work that way in certain stories for certain characters, with certain characters that are playing around with certain things, like Abraham teachings. You know, it certainly can shape itself into evidence that it works that way. But there isn't any vibrational reality, quote-unquote, to me. There's just true creative essence shaping itself into a story. And in the story elements, there appears to be evidence for that kind of a cause and effect. That's the way things work in the universe. And there's other things, but I don't want to spend a lot of time at the idea and concept level. But to me, if you really poke at this stuff, it just doesn't hold up. My bias is it all falls apart. But it's a great story, and it creates great opportunities for great stories and great experiences of thoughts, feelings, sensations, and story space body dynamics that are what the human story is all about. So you say, how does time, no time work? I don't really know what that means. So you'll have to come back and be more specific about what that means. Again, to me, the opportunity with ultimate freedom is to leave ideas and concepts and theories and philosophies on the table and look at what's actually going on in your own direct experience. And if you actually look at your own direct experience, if there's no watch, if there's no clock, even if there is a watch or a clock, there really isn't any time. It's a completely manufactured human concept that there's time. So for there to be a time and a no time, the reality is if you don't wear a watch, if you don't look at a clock, and in an average day, for the Robert character, if I don't like have to go pick my kids up at school at 3, or if I don't have an appointment at a certain time or something like that, time doesn't exist for me. I'm just doing what I'm doing. I don't look at the clock. Time doesn't really move. It's not a physical thing that you can really feel, although there could be an appearance in inner space that looks like that. So to me, whatever the definition, you can come back and I'll be happy to continue the discussion, but whatever the definition of time is, and whatever the definition of no time is, whether this is an Abraham thing or something else, it would be a story. It would be an appearance. It would be a pure raw experience of something combined with a story, or it would just be a story that's overlaid on what happens in the human experience, but I don't put much stock in it. So my bias, if you look, again, and most people experience this, you know, and most people experience it as a positive, so to speak, when they're out of time. You know, when they don't have to be looking at a calendar, when they don't have to be looking at a watch, when they don't have to be somewhere at a certain time, they like the typically what they call is freedom or whatever that comes from not really living in time. Beyond that, I can't address it because I'm not aware of what those terms really mean. So, but even if I was aware of what they are, odds are I would say something very similar to what I just said, with just a little bit more specifics applying to it. Stories, you know, ultimately it's all stories, and true creative essence can shape itself into anything. And the other thing I want to say, which I said at Ultimate Freedom, and I've said a lot, but I just want to repeat it. The Ultimate Freedom path, the opportunity that the Ultimate Freedom teachings offer, is one ride in the amusement park. It's one way that a human story can be experienced, lack of a better term. It isn't the best way, it's not a better way, it's not a way that ultimately every human has to get to at some point before they can graduate the Earth school and go somewhere else. To me, my bias, it's the best game in town, so to speak. It's the most amazing story, you know, but that's my bias. But there's nothing wrong with somebody embracing The Abraham teachings in specific, or any teaching from anywhere, whether it would be called spiritual or not, it doesn't mean that they're less evolved or less advanced or, you know, they're children versus an adult, you know, or anything else like that. All of it's wonderful. All of it's amazing. All of it creates is raw material to create the opportunity for unique stories, which means unique experiences of thoughts, feelings, and sensations, of which the feelings, as you know, are the most important piece. Michael Haig confirmed that, too, with the art of storytelling things. And it doesn't make any difference. There's no hierarchy. You know, there's no better or worse. There's no more evolved or less evolved. There's no enlightened or unenlightened. There's no slow and fast, you know. So if, for example, for Arlene or anybody else, even though, Arlene, you've experienced the ultimate freedom teachings, if for some reason you were to say to me, you know, we were to meet 6 months from now, a year from now, and you were to say, you know what, ultimate freedom was cool. I get what that opportunity is. I get what that ride in the amusement park's all about. But I'm just using your example. I like this, what's appeared is, I'm embracing this thing with Abraham teachings and this you create your own reality and following the techniques and methods and whatever that they offer for how to create the life of your dreams or whatever else it is, that's fine, no big deal. Again, amusement parks have all kinds of rides. They appeal to some people. They don't to others. Some people over time ride a bunch of different rides. Some people only ride one or they ride one over and over and over, you know, whatever. But there's no judgment. There's no hierarchy. There's no anything here about any of this. When I talk about things and I poke at them and I say that falls apart on close examination, that doesn't accurately describe the way things really work, my bias is all of that is correct. And embracing those things, having them fail more than they succeed, not really realizing that or still hoping that it'll work the next time, you know, all these kinds of things that are my bias of what happens with all of these kinds of techniques and you create your own reality, it doesn't make any difference because it's all about stories. And the content of the stories don't matter. What matters is the thoughts, feelings, and sensations that appear in inner space, the things that happen in story space, the things that happen with the body as sensations and such, and the enjoyment of all of that, no matter what the specifics are. Okay, I was actually just getting ready to upload this and send out the announcement when another question came in. So I will quickly take, not quickly, but whatever happens, I will answer that and then I'll upload this. So here we go. This is also from Sherry, who says has completed Ultimate Key to Freedom twice. Okay, this is a share and the character would welcome any comments Robert feels compelled to share. In the storyline, this character marvels at how much time is freed up the more she awakens. Going to stop there and again just want to say, I know that Sherry, it might appear in inner space. You might say to me if we were talking about this, I know, words don't serve as you say, blah, blah, blah. But if we're going to use transformational vocabulary, then we want to use transformational vocabulary that is accurate. So she awakens, as I mentioned earlier, is not accurate. Ultimate freedom awakening in the story, the reader, you know, becoming more and more, you know, whatever, those are the kinds of ways. So if this was me, you know, it would be this character marvels at how much time is freed up as more and more ultimate freedom expresses itself in the story, as ultimate freedom awakens more and more and more in the story. But if we're going to, again, use transformational vocabulary, it is not Sherry that is awakening. It is not an individual who awakens. There is no individual that could happen to. And again, if you look at what's actually happening, different things are happening in inner space. Different things are happening in story space. And there is being the reader of the story, which is not a new place, as we talked about. It's not a new appearance. It's always been there. It's just been like the sun and clouds metaphor, obscured sometimes. But here's where it gets really tricky, because like I've said before, the funny thing is the reader is not something that was completely asleep and then wakes up. It was always fully awake. It was always there. We were always the reader with capital T and capital R. We just were so focused in on the camera lens, if you will, was so zoomed in on metaphorically the appearances in inner space, that even though it's the most intimate experience we have, being the reader, We aren't aware of it. So again, if we're going to use transformational vocabulary, it's important that the vocabulary do as best as we can, yes, with flawed language, to speak the truth with capital T's about what's going on, describe it as accurately as we can. Okay, continuing. She spends almost no time planning, thinking, weighing options, berating herself, or wondering if she could have done something better. I'm going to stop there a moment. I totally identify with that, Sherry. That's definitely something that appeared and was very much, let's call it, enjoyed and appreciated at the story level in the Robert story. Continuing, she is spending little time seeking advice or studying self-help materials. Stop again. Same thing with me. That's something that happens in many, many, many stories when ultimate freedom awakens. Continuing, as a group, these activities absorbed a large part of her day in phase one and two. She is curious about how true creative essence will use this newly available time. I want to stop there, and again, there are no rules or formulas for how any of this works, and it can be unique, but one thing that was interesting in the Robert story to me, and it's something that certainly could happen to others, is that you may remember that I believe I told this story somewhere. If I didn't, then somebody come on back and let me know, and I'll tell it in a future audio. But in phase one, one of the most painful things, as it appeared for the Robert character, was being bored. And so I would always have all these options, especially if I was traveling or I was stuck somewhere where I could continue to be stimulating myself and jamming things into the mind machine, you know, watching videos, reading books, listening to audios, whatever it was. Input, 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 input. And one of the interesting things that happened, not only is that I experienced that boredom doesn't exist and it's just a story and it's really what, in many ways, what peace of mind and serenity are, which means the inner space is just quiet. Water can be still as glass even though it's still moving, and I think you all know my bias is that emotional energy in inner space is always moving, but sometimes it's moving so slowly that it seems like there's no emotion, but my bias is it's like water being still as glass. Water's still moving, it just looks still. But there are times where I could be in an airport, I could be walking, I could be at home, I could be wherever, and there's nothing going on in inner space. The Robert character's not reading anything, not doing anything, not watching anything. And the quiet, just the pure quiet with absolutely nothing going on. This is not trying to quote-unquote meditate or doing anything. It's just I could be in an airport sitting in a chair waiting for an airplane. And the quiet in inner space is just enjoyable. I never would have imagined that that was possible, and especially with that whole boredom program running in the mind machine. So some of the time, as you're talking about, may be reused doing things, and you or other people listening may notice that something similar happens too, that there are also just periods of time where nothing is going on or very little is going on, and that is perceived as whatever word you want to use, doesn't matter, enjoyable, peaceful, whatever. Continuing, the character notices some of the quote-unquote same old patterns repeating themselves in story space, and then most of the time watches as TCE morphs from seeing it with a lowercase s into seeing with an uppercase s and responds in new ways. It's a delightful part of this story. Going to stop there. Yes, again, I totally identify with that, Sherry. That's exactly what happened in the Robert story and what happens with so many stories, so I feel like saying I'm thrilled to hear you narrate that as what's appearing in the Sherry story. Continuing, she still experiences what could be called quote-unquote negative emotion, although the energy feels less intense than she had previously experienced. Many times, these emotions are softened by an experience of feeling quote-unquote the field, using a metaphor from the legend of Bagger Vance. Feeling the field has been a primary tool her character has used to move into phase three, in a similar way to how Robert's character used the tools. It is a sensation she quote-unquote learned through meditation. Okay, Sherry, here I would invite you to take, and maybe you've already done this and just didn't narrate it here, but my guess is there's an opportunity here. I would take what you're calling the field and what you're saying is this sensation that you've learned through meditation. Take the words, the field. Take everything that you've always kind of thought to be true, bear with the language about this thing called the field, put it on a shelf, and simply bear with the language here as always, become aware of what's really happening in inner space that you call the field. And then what's really going on when that particular appearance appears in inner space. I think there's an opportunity to see something that's been there, to see something that's there now that perhaps hasn't been seen or seen as clearly, seen as fully, seen as deeply because it was being used as a technique. Continuing, the character looks forward to a time when she experiences all emotions as neutral or positive. Got to stop there again, Sherry. I don't know, but as I said in the earlier recording here, I'm not sure that there's not a mind-machine distortion here. My belief is you are experiencing emotions as neutral or positive. There's still a story because, again, look what you said. She still experiences what could be called negative emotion, but you're putting it in quotes. You're saying what could be called. You didn't write. She still experiences negative emotions. She still feels like she's angry and that angry feels bad. She still feels like she's this and it feels bad. When you say could be called, the energy feels less intense. Again, the interesting thing is it doesn't matter if it feels less intense or not. If the story and the label, the name and the story and the judgment are not attached to it, it can be as intense as you want. Roller coaster experiences are intense. When we're reading a novel and certain things happen, watching a movie or a TV show and certain things happen, definitely the movement of energy in inner space can be described as intense, but it's not a bad thing, it's not a negative thing, it's not get me out of here. So I think, like I said earlier, there's a bit of a bear with the language funny thing going on here. Like I mentioned before, you look forward to a time when da-da-da-da is happening, but my bias is da-da-da-da is already happening. You might, the mind machine might buzz and whir and say, well, yeah, I guess that's right, Robert, but it could happen more. Or it could be that there's a funny quicksandy thing going on where you are experiencing the emotions as neutral or positive. You're remembering, which is what I think is going on here. You're remembering, I would have once called this negative and bad. I'm not now, but in the space is the pure raw experience of the energy as neutral or positive, and the story, I would have once called this negative, I would have once called this bad, and they're both appearing at the same time, but they're appearing, bear with the language, as separate pieces. And but then the mind machine's kind of knitting them together and almost saying, well, I'm still feeling negative emotions, but you're not. They've actually separated in the two separate pieces, the pure raw experience and the story, have been separated, and they're both, bear with the language, floating in inner space, seemingly still fused together, but not really. So I would invite you to look at that. Continuing, she is immensely grateful to Robert for sharing this journey. Awesome. I'm immensely grateful to True Creative Essence for writing all of this stuff on the story and me being able to read it, bear with all of that language. Okay, so on this note, I'm going to close this audio, upload, and announce it. As I mentioned, this is a Thursday. I'm in Australia. Tomorrow, the first Ultimate Freedom 5-Day Intensive begins Friday. And then I have a few days off next week. And then there's a second one that starts 27th, I guess it is, whatever the Friday is, in the Australian time zone. So I anticipate that if there are questions that come in the week to come, that I will have a chance to answer them in between the two events, but if for some reason I don't, please forgive me. I will then catch up on all the questions, create another audio when I return home, and I'll be home March 6th, I believe it is, March 7th, something like that. So there may be a delay, there may not, before the next audio. Thank you all for your shares and your comments and your questions, and I'll look forward to our next form of contact, whatever shape that takes. Bye-bye for now.